Beaconsfield is located on the unceded traditional territory of the Ganyangehaga Nation, who have been the stewards of these lands and waters for generations. This area has long been a place of gathering, connection, and community, and it remains home to a diverse population of Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples today.
Hello. Welcome to the neighborhood. You are about to embark on a journey with a character. A little piece of housekeeping before you begin. Please be extra aware if you are crossing a street or an intersection. You are responsible for your well-being and the well-beings of others out in public spaces. If you come to a busy intersection or need to stop for any reason, please pause the audio until you are safely across or ready to move on. You will be following in the footsteps of a character and they will be giving you instructions for you to follow. When you hear this noise, your character is about to give you a direction, so listen carefully. Let's do a little test. I'm going to play the noise and give you an instruction. Are you ready? Raise your right hand. Did you do it? Excellent! You're ready to start your journey, which will begin now.
When I think of my neighborhood, I imagine it as a tree. Its roots are planted firmly in the ground like the foundations of houses and history that doesn't change. But the leaves that grow from it are always changing, and the animals who live in it come and go year after year.
I am an arborist in Beaconsfield.
I've been one for about a year and a half. I started when I first moved here. I always loved nature and climbing growing up. When I was a kid, I would climb this tree out our front yard. It was pine, and it was taller than our house. We lived in a bungalow, and I'd always try to get to the top. Mom hated it, not even because it was too high, but because I'd get covered in sticky sap all over my clothes. As a teenager, I still loved nature. I invested in a whole hydroponic system in my bedroom for my spider plants, which was kinda atypical for a teenage boy. But I was a weird kid, I guess.
I come here every day and sit amongst the trees. It makes me feel like I'm in the forest. It's kind of like a moment of stillness. But I should continue walking as part of my routine. It is how I center myself. Let's walk out of the woods to the corner of Windermere and Montrose, and keep walking straight down Montrose.
Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Dale. What's up?
I'm just calling to chat. Are you busy?
You've caught me out on my daily walk around the neighborhood, but it's okay. I can talk. So what's up?
Nothing, really. Bobby started school this past month. My God, you should see him. His backpack is bigger than he is. He's so cute.
I can't believe he's already that old.
I know. It's terrifying.
You and Susie are great parents, and Bobby is a well-rounded kid. You'll be fine.
My sister Dale has always been one of the most supportive people in my life. 2 years ago, I was not where I am today. I was working for a finance company, if you can believe it. I spent every day in front of a screen with a high workload and a toxic culture surrounding me. And really began to take a toll. I had night sweats, hives, palpitations, and one day there was an incident. Not involving me, but it could have been me.
Dear Marcus, how are you? I think it's a good idea you're taking some time off. There's too much stress in that office, and after everything that's happened there, I'm worried you're making yourself sick. Maybe you should think about leaving.
I moved into a house on this street when I first got here. I love the canopy overhead. You'll see further down the road that there are hanging vines growing on the phone wires. Not really great for Belle, but it's how I imagine things would be if we let nature take its course. So, when I first moved here, there was a house here on the left that was being renovated. There were all these workers in the yard, building a fence. I don't know what came over me, but I felt an overwhelming sense of envy.
I had always wanted a life like that. making things or working with my hands, something satisfying. And so, I decided I needed to change careers for good. So naturally, as an adult, after my worst burnout ever, I decided to leave finance and become an arborist.
Marcus, are you there?
Yeah. Sorry, did I zone out? I was just thinking about when I first moved here. How much has changed in such a short time? Hard to pinpoint what it was that caused it exactly.
What was? Oh, sorry, can I call you back? I'm getting a call from the school. I should take it.
Okay, no problem.
Let's turn right on Olympic Drive. Dear Dale, I really like my new neighborhood. Lots of wildlife. Saw a skunk the other day with its head stuck in a can. I pulled it off him. He was super cute, and he didn't spray me. My anxiety has gotten so bad. I even had a hard time being with people. I also think about Gary all the time. I wish I had done something or said something to him. Maybe things would have been different. But when I walk and I'm outside, I feel better. I look around at the trees and I listen to the wind. And I feel calm.
I spent my whole first week on the job working on Olympic Drive. This street is long, with old houses and some even older trees. You'll notice three kinds of spruce trees. Blue, white, and Norway spruce. Also, there's some birch further down.
I've always loved birch. I never took the bark off as a kid because I was told it hurts the tree. Which I took literally, as if the tree could feel you pulling at its skin. That first week, I was trimming branches. Most people are afraid of heights, but not me. I loved it. My anxiety didn't bother me up there one bit. Being high up changes your perspective. Big things look small, and you see everything from a different point of view. You can see life happening all around you. 7 a.m. up in a tree. There's a crow on the branch next to me, squawking. I'm harnessed with my saw in hand, taking off a dead branch from an ash. Family in the house below is getting ready to leave for the morning. Dad's in the car and the kids come out. Mom's there too and about to get in, but she hesitates. She's forgotten something. Her lunchbox. The next house over, there's a suit getting into a BMW, rattling on his Bluetooth about margin numbers. As he reverses, he tosses an apple core from his window. A cautious family of skunks scurry out across the road to avoid a Canada Post truck that turns the corner. Letter carrier jumps out, skips through three longs, and is off again. Crow flies down. Picks up the apple core, flies away. A regular suburban morning.
Turn left on West Hill Avenue.
By the end of the week, I was tired. But I could feel that I was changing. My arms felt stronger than ever. 8:30 p.m. Friday evening. The end of the day is different. Full, quiet driveways. The sun is low. And the ominous glow of the moon mirrors the flickering TV lights shining through the living room windows onto the streets. Seldomly, the odd person is out walking their dogs post-work and dinner. The fall field crickets are waking up. I'm putting my gear away in my truck and I hear this noise. It sounds like screeching. It's loud and it echoes down the street. I'm frozen in my tracks. Is it an animal or a person? Whatever it is, it's close. I feel my pulse starting to go up. Quickly as I can, I get into my truck and I drive away, leaving the noise echoing behind me.
Dear Marcus, I'm glad things are going well for you. Sounds like you're making a lot of friends with animals. Are you making any friends with humans? I'm worried about you being alone. And I'm worried that you blame yourself for what happened to Gary. No one knew what he was going to do. No one knew what he was going through, and I don't think you could have changed that. As for the fear you've been experiencing, maybe it's something you need to face.
Turn right on Montrose.
My second week, I trimmed hedges. Heads trimming. I don't mind it. I don't get to climb, but there's a certain creativity that comes with hedges. There's a woman named Maria who lives here on this street. I do her bushes. She has the most beautiful garden. Flowers, cedar, very well balanced. She's put a lot of thought into it. She has a son, a little boy a bit older than my nephew Bobby. Every time I'm there, he's trying to catch something. Usually it's birds. I also noticed he was trying to get into the neighbor's yard because there's a nest there. So, I made this fake bird's nest out of some bramble and put it on a low branch for him. He didn't know the difference. Figure it was better than him wandering off. Maria often stands on her balcony smoking. She's nervous every time I see her. I can tell something's on her mind. She has this furrowed brow and she stares off into the distance, tapping her foot. Sometimes I hear her arguing with her ex-husband on the phone. It sounds pretty bad, but it's none of my business. I barely know her.
Yo.
Sorry about that. I apparently need to sign some field trip waiver. There's so much to keep on top of. What were you saying?
I was thinking about the anxiety I used to have and what exactly changed that. I mean, how did I get over it?
Well, you seemed more confident when we came to visit you. I don't know the exact moment. Only you would know that.
The next week, I'm back at Maria's, removing Norway maple saplings.
Norway maples grow everywhere around Beaconsfield.
If you look around right now, you'll probably see some. Their leaves are dark purpley green, and people buy them at nurseries. They think they look nice. A dark maple. But they are a menace to the soil. They release toxins that kill the natural microbe.
So I've cut the ones out the front and the side. Just watch out for planting invasive species, because they'll take over.
Well, you have done a fantastic job. It looks great. I'll definitely recommend you.
I appreciate that.
How long have you been working with trees, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, to be honest, professionally not that long, but I've always been into plants and trees ever since I can remember. I recently had a career change.
What were you doing before?
Finance.
Wow, that is a big change. Why?
Following my passion, I guess.
You know, you should join the gardening club. It's really fun. You know, there's a lot of good people. Everyone's really friendly. We meet two Saturdays out of the month.
Yeah? Well, maybe. Thanks.
Jamie, sweetheart, what are you doing? Oh, yes. It's the fox. He suddenly has decided that that's what he wants to be for Halloween. Originally, he said he wanted to be an explorer, but he changed his mind.
He likes animals. I've noticed.
Yeah, he really does. It's been birds and raccoons and now foxes. Anyway, thanks again. I'll send you some more info about the gardening club.
That sounds cool. Thanks.
As I turn to leave, I see a dark green car drive up in front of Maria's house. A guy gets out. He's clenching his jaw and fists in frustration. He walks up to the house determined. I can tell just by the way he walks, it's her ex-husband. He pounds loudly on the front door. She doesn't answer. I feel a wave of heat rising up in my spine. I walk away.
There's a clearing on the corner right in front of us, coming up on our left. Let's cross the street and have a seat on the bench there. There's some diverse trees here. Sugar maple and white ash and American hornbeam, also known as blue beech. It's nice to just sit here for a moment and listen to the trees talking, their leaves rustling in the wind. The trees here are so beautiful, and the way the leaves line the streets in any season makes you feel like you're walking through a painting. When they're towering over, you can't help but look up. Okay, enough break.
Let's get up and continue walking down Montrose.
My fourth week on the job, my town was hit by a tropical storm. They called it a microburst. This intense, pressurized downdraft knocked out all of the trees around here. I spent the day cleaning up the debris and devastated streets. There were branches everywhere. Some large trees had actually come down. I have my saw and truck. 12 people need fallen trees removed from their driveways. 8 general yard cleanup. 25 risk assessment. This is going to take all week. It's getting dark. I've done as much as I can for the day, so I resolve to be back tomorrow early. Then I hear the noise again.
Hello?
The streets are empty. Whatever it is,
hello?
It's getting closer.
Is anyone there?
And louder.
Turn right on Coronet Avenue.
The next day, everyone's out helping. The community seems to have really come together to clean up the mess. There are so many leaves because it's mid-October and the microburst has dumped them all over the streets. Even Maria and Jamie have come over to the neighbors' houses and are picking up the leaves and raking piles. Well, Jamie's mostly chasing squirrels. I can't stop thinking about that noise. That thing I keep hearing. Someone else must know what it is. But when I ask, everyone says they didn't hear anything and they give me a look. Suddenly, I see the green car coming up the street. Maria's ex-husband is back. The car pulls up to a stop and he gets out and slams the door. Maria holds on to Jamie. Her body language is very tense. I'm worried. I can't leave her there. I have to do something. So, I decide to go over there and ask her a question. I don't know what I'm going to ask. I'm trying to think of something in the moment. But I feel like if I'm there, at least she won't be alone.
What did you just say? What? Because you're such a great mother, up on your high horse. You know, I got a call from the school the other day. They told me that you missed classes and you were late picking him up.
Please don't raise your voice.
Don't talk to me that way. You're the problem here, all right? What, you got nothing to say?
Hey, Maria. Do you need a ride?
Yes, thanks, Marcus.
Great. Let's go.
Come on, Jamie.
The ex says nothing. He just looks at me. He grunts and slinks back into his dirty green car, drives away. It's hard to prey on people when they're in packs. I drive Maria and Jamie home.
Jamie, sweetheart, why don't you go and watch TV for a little while? I just want to say thanks. I know you've probably noticed I don't have the best relationship with my ex.
Yeah. I see that. Are you afraid of him?
Sometimes. I want to be brave, but I can't.
I get that.
Really? You? The guy who's climbing all the way up there, afraid?
That's the only time I'm not afraid.
Well, you seemed okay today.
I just feel like I don't know what made the anxiety go away exactly.
Yeah, I guess I really noticed you changed when we came to visit you on Halloween. You were confident, not just because you were dressed up as Zorro, but you seemed in your element. It was like you knew everybody in town. You were showing us around.
That's so funny you remind me of Halloween. I'm right about where we did most of our trick-or-treating. Remember those honey locust trees with the spiders hanging down?
Gross. Don't remind me of the spiders.
They were fake. You're such a wimp. God, honey locusts are really nice, though.
They're the ones with the lacy leaves that go bright yellow in the spring and fall?
Yeah!
Yeah, they are nice.
You know they produce pea fruits? You can make coffee from them, and their wood is really strong. They make railroad ties from it.
I'll leave the coffee and railroad tie making to you, but yeah, Halloween was great. Everyone loved you. Every house we went to was, oh, Marcus, it's Marcus.
Well, I had just spent all that time helping with the disaster cleanup.
Right.
Stop here at the corner of Elizabeth Drive. It's Halloween. The decorations are out. Pumpkins everywhere. Ghost displays and creepy graveyards cover the lawns. My sister and family are visiting. I'm dressed as Zorro, my favorite superhero, and we do some trick-or-treating. It's a great night. Bobby, my nephew, is dressed as a bumblebee, and he's happy because he's getting full chocolate bars. People are really into Halloween here. We're back at my house, settling in for the night. Bobby's gone to bed. Dale and Susie are checking the candy when I get a call.
He was there 1 minute and...
Maria's son Jamie has gone missing. He went out trick-or-treating and disappeared.
The neighborhood gathers together where Jamie was last seen, right around here, on Elizabeth Drive.
Maria is spiraling with panic.
Brown hair, he's wearing a fox costume.
A search party is put together. The cheery festivities have worn off. Could he have been taken? Everyone is feeling this dread. It's palpable in the air. It's unsettling.
Come on, Jamie.
I look over at Maria, and I can tell her anxiety and terror is worse than anything I have ever felt. We all branch out, combing the streets. I think maybe Maria's ex in the green car came back. Maybe he took him. There's no way I can catch up to him. He's probably long gone, if that's the case. Or maybe something else?
Jamie! Come on out, Jamie!
Then I hear the noise.
Come here.
The screeching. If that thing has taken Jamie, then I have to go after it. I follow it along the wooded path between the houses.
There's a path coming up on the left. Let's walk down it all the way to Henri Géry Park.
Jamie? 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 Come on out, Jamie!
This is Henri Jarry Park. See the bench there? Let's sit down. The park was dim and abandoned.
Jimmy!
An eerie darkness all around. It's one of those places that really doesn't see people at night. I scoured the bushes all around the fence.
Jamie?
Nothing. It's muddy and damp. The trees are dark, foreboding. I hear on one side, then the other. Whatever it is, it's here. It's all around me. And then the trees clear. And I see it. It's standing in the moonlight. Its fiery pelt against the black, damp stones. A red fox. I feel my blood come back to baseline. I feel foolish. How could something so beautiful and elusive make such a terrifying sound? And then I look over and I see Jamie trying to catch the fox. He's covered in mud to the point you can't even tell he's wearing red. The fox looks at him and me. He turns tail and runs away. Let's get up and walk out of the park and turn right on Henri Jarry Street.
Halloween was crazy. I'll never forget that night. Oh, shoot, what time is it? I'm supposed to be going to a block party.
Block party?
Yeah, like a neighborhood gathering. I gotta get out of this park. I'll keep you on the phone while I'm walking there.
Well, anyway, I remember when you called that night to say that you'd found him. It was like we could finally exhale. And that clip of you the next day on the local news, town hero? If people didn't know you before, they certainly did after that.
It was a group effort. It wasn't just me.
You don't need to be modest.
Soon all the leaves fell and fall turned to winter and snow. I took a much-needed holiday. Got to read a bit of old pulp fiction stories and The Curse of Capistrano in particular. And of course, I went out for my walks. 7 a.m. walk. The streets are waking up. There are light flurries and the air is crisp and cold. A group of neighborhood kids with their lunch boxes are patiently waiting at a stop as the school bus drives up.
The next house over.
The suit with the BMW is checking his mailbox. The mail carrier knocks on a front door.
Package delivery.
He smiles and waves at me. A friendly neighborhood cat trots down the road right to my feet, purring, and is off again. It's a new kind of day.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going, Marcus?
Turn right on Elizabeth Drive. Turn left on Montrose.
Marcus, hi.
Hi. Maria, how are you?
I'm great. Really good, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just won my custody arrangement with my ex-husband.
Really glad to hear that. Congratulations. How is Jamie?
He's really good.
He's starting a new school soon, right here in Beaconsfield, which will be much better. And
I got him a cat. I'm hoping it'll keep him, you know, domestic.
Sounds like a plan.
What are you up to these days?
I've been reading, mostly. It's been nice and quiet, not too many trees to trim in the winter.
Yeah, but the nice weather's starting up again. Didn't the groundhog say that spring is just around the corner?
Yes, he did. And depending where you are in the world, it could be a bear or a badger predicting the weather.
What?
Groundhog Day!
Oh.
Yeah. I just like animal folklore.
Right. Of course you do. So anyway, I kind of told everyone you were joining the garden club.
Oh. Well, okay. Dear Dale, so I've joined the gardening club. I know you'll make fun of me,
It's definitely for old ladies, but I kinda like it. Everyone there is really friendly and calm. There's this one lady I met, she had this book full of pictures of all kinds of plants. I thought they were plants she was growing, but actually she tells me they're the plants she killed. She keeps them in a book so she remembers not to plant them again. It's hilarious. Anyway, you don't have to worry about me being alone anymore. I think I've found my people. Can't wait to see you again for Christmas. Love from your little brother, Marcus.
So, when are you coming to visit next?
Oh, I wish I could. But there's just so much. A bunch of people quit at work, so it's all been falling on my shoulders. Susie has dental surgery coming up, which is going to cost us. And Bobby's extracurriculars are really demanding.
Let me tell you something a wise woman once told me. Maybe you should take a break. Don't want to make yourself sick now.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm going to come up there sometime soon. So what are you going to do with this block party? No offense, but I've had your cooking and it's not your strongest attribute.
Thanks. Yeah, I haven't cooked anything, don't worry. I volunteered to do cleanup. I'm strong and I can move things. That's my contribution.
You see? That was the change.
What was? My strength?
Your connection to the people around you. It brought something out in you that I always knew was in there.
My confidence?
No. Your purpose.
As I look around at the busy street, the cars and the bikes,
the people doing their daily errands, the birds feeding from the flower pots or the squirrels nesting in the trees, I feel the sun and shade on my back. I see my friends waiting for me at the block party. A neighborhood's like a tree. It's rooted in the ground, but moving, blooming, and wilting, constantly changing. And if you pay attention and give it some care, sometimes it bears fruit.
You've just listened to Fox Calling, starring Jean Bernard, Don Ford, Prerna Neda, Dara Mandu, Stephanie Marula, and Adam Bagatavages. The Neighborhood was written and created by Stephanie Marula and was inspired by interviews from collaborating citizens of Beaconsfield and Montreal West. Music and sound design by Adam Bagatavages. Sound recording by Tyler Rauman at the CDAH.
French translation by Rachel Martinez and Elizabeth Adele. Web infrastructure by Michael Townsend.
With special thanks to Ryan Hurl and Jeff Poitras.
Produced in partnership with the Quebec Writers Federation, Montreal West and Beaconsfield Public Libraries, with the support of the Conseil des Arts de Montréal, the English Language Arts Network, and the Government of Canada. This was an ACTRA production.